This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
What you're seeing now is paid and organized. We'll talk about this again. Senator Ron Johnson is here. We have Supreme Court news, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, before we get into the communists and paid and who's doing the paying and why they're doing the paying and what the actual angle is on all this, I have an angle. I want you to go to jessekelly.com so I can send you a free book. It's free. I understand that in this day and age, you're understandably cynical. It can't be free. What's the catch? He's going to send me a newsletter every week or something. It's nothing like that at all. I wrote a little red book with some thoughts on communism and America and Republicans and Democrats. It's 93 pages, just a little booklet. We just wanted to send it to people for free. Something, call it a, I hate using this term, sounds like a hippie term, a passion project. Oh man, I feel icky. It's a passion project. You just go to jessekelly.com, put in your email address, and we'll send it to you. That's it. All right? All right. Money. Money is one of those things that, it's a funny thing. You hang around rich people, or maybe you read stories about rich people, or we're watching on the news about rich people. And sometimes, maybe this occurs to you, it certainly occurs to me, that you can just buy almost anything in life. Now, you can't buy true love and stuff like that, not to quote the Beatles, but you can just buy whatever. If you have enough money, I've heard of celebrities, they rent out theme parks for themselves. Imagine, you're at Six Flags and the whole thing is yours. No lines, no nothing. You can buy friends. You can buy girlfriends. Private jet, you can just buy things. And political agitation, political movements can be purchased. No different than a historical story of a king or a general buying mercenaries to fight his wars for him, political movements can be purchased. And we tend to ignore this fact when we see people doing crazy things in the streets. We automatically assume, well, people are crazy. Why are they acting so crazy? And of course, there are some crazies, and we'll get to that, but so many of these people are just paid. Maybe you're curious how so many people could march out into the streets and start saying, pause for a moment, the Gestapo. What were the Gestapo? It was one of Hitler's street enforcement groups. It was an organized group, and he would find targets, and the Gestapo would go out and beat them and kill them. That's what they did. Hitler was out there killing and maiming his political enemies. Obviously, a very evil group, did very, very evil things. How could any right-thinking American, whatever you think about deportations, I love them, of course, but whatever you think about deportations, how could so many people call ICE the Gestapo?
This is Gestapo-like behavior.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
When you compare the old films of the Gestapo grabbing people off the streets of Poland, it does look like a Gestapo operation.
You posted on social media that, quote, ICE is acting like a terrorist force.
ICE agents, they are coming and kidnapping and disappearing people on the streets of the United States.
But this terror campaign of having masked people rolling up in vans, but we also have to talk about the agents themselves that are carrying the
crazy. How could so many people say that and believe that? Well, they don't. Are there some who do? Of course, but most of these people don't believe that. So you, when you try to argue with them, that's nothing like the Gestapo. You notice you haven't moved them at all, right? Well, you know why you haven't moved them? They're just simply mercenaries. They're paid. Now, who's doing the paying and why? Well, we have communist billionaires like the George Soros types are well documented. Many of them have come out on camera and said it. They are interested in tearing down the United States of America. They believe America is evil. foreign and domestic powerful communists are out to destroy the country and along the way get some more money and power for themselves. But money, when you have billions and billions at your disposal, money can buy you whatever you want. It can buy you street animals. Lonely, bored, broke, drug addicted, violent, miserable people, maybe old and retired, nothing else to do that day, they would like a check. And if you pay them, they'll march out in the streets and say whatever you want them to say. I know it's hard to accept this, but if I wanted to organize a street protest in front of the local Red Lobster, telling them I want more Cheddar Bay biscuits for everyone, not that I would do such a thing, I could do it. It would just take money. I'd have to go down to the bank and see if I had enough funds. If I didn't, I'd have to take out a loan. And then I just have to find a bunch of bored losers and pay them, and they'll go do it. People will do anything for money. Remember this segment from Laura Ingraham?
Shame.
Do you have a job? Do you have a job?
Shame.
That's not the only time that's ever happened. People who've admitted this on camera, sometimes they have a little bit of an honest moment and say, no, I'm paid. I'm paid to be here. But here's the thing. The reason we talk about this so often is the communists can't afford most people knowing that. They don't want you to know that. When the communist pays these people to go out and make their signs and do their chants and do all the stupid stuff they do, he needs you to think it's real, to think it's organic. He needs you to look around and say to family and friends, wow, Americans, they really hate these deportations, or whatever the cause may be. And as we now are digging through the books and we have more and more wonderful independent journalists, we have a Trump administration who's starting to dig into this stuff. As we find out more and more about this dark cabal of communist paid protesters, the communists are mortally afraid that this information will get out there. And that's why you have guys like Jimmy Kimmel on television saying this.
These are not paid agitators. These are concerned Americans. If they're paid agitators, by the way, prove it. You keep saying they're paid agitators. Prove it.
Oh, we know they're paid. And why would he say something like prove it? Well, that's another part of this. The people who set up these communist networks, who pay these people, they're wealthy. All this money flows down from the uber, uber wealthy communists. Again, the George Soros types. I keep using his name, but there are several of them. Singham, there are many, foreign and domestic. But they have tons of money. You know what else money can buy you? Not just Six Flags and a private jet and a girlfriend. Money buys you the best attorneys on the planet, the best accountants on the planet. Guy like George Soros doesn't wake up one day and walk down to the street corner with a fat wad of Benjamins and start handing it out to a bunch of dorks to go protest. There are all kinds of legal ramifications or potential legal ramifications for something like that. No, you have to set up a web, if you will, of organizations. Some nonprofit, some for-profit, non-government organizations. So this nonprofit funds this nonprofit who has this nonprofit underneath it. And all this is done with the help of $2,000 an hour attorneys to ensure that you can't travel down that rabbit hole all the way to the bottom. You know how I know this? Because I've been doing media for 7 years. Before that, I had a very normal life. But for about 7 years, I've been doing media. And because I'm interested in exposing and understanding this communist network, I have had expert after expert after expert on this show and my radio show wanting to know, tell me about the dark money. Tell me about the network. Tell me about the web. What does it look like? And they can expose a lot, and they have exposed a lot, but they always run into a wall. A legal wall where they can't find any more information. What you're seeing is not organic. What you're seeing is paid for, organized. But we should also say this. Broken people, weak people, stupid people, they can succumb to the propaganda from paid organizers. The East Germans used to do this all the time when they would create communist protests in West Germany. They would send paid people. They would pay a small cabal of people to go out and rabble rouse. But then you would have stupid, weak people rally around them who would become true believers. You see this nurse in Chicago?
Remember how much power nurses have in this country? One of our own was just murdered in the street. So, we might be able to stop this somehow.
I would really suggest to all the healthcare organizations out there that if you have knowingly MAGA employees, that you terminate them. They're not safe people to take care of other people. You can't have people who have open racism in the healthcare system. I mean, we already know that exists, because if you're a black woman in healthcare, you know. But if you're openly MAGA at this point and you're supporting the murdering of people, you don't deserve to be in healthcare. You should have your license removed.
I would encourage you to do something. If you are ever in a hospital in need of care,
and somebody talks like this, and does this thing,
you should really request a new nurse, because you have no earthly idea what that person might do to you for your political beliefs. Either way, that's just a weak, stupid communist who's mentally broken. So he's succumbed to all the paid agitation. So the billionaires create the organizations. The organizations pay and train communist street animals. The communist street animals put out all kinds of endless propaganda. And then eventually you get Nurse Chad, or whatever his name is, talking on video about how we have to fight back. That's how it actually works. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk about some other things with Haley in a moment. Before we talk to Haley, that reminds me. That's actually a perfect reminder. Testosterone. Do you want your wrists to end up like this? That's how they end up if you don't have enough testosterone. Just as your T levels go down, your wrists just start to weaken and weaken and weaken, and soon you're prancing like this. That's what Chalk is here for. A male vitality stack from Chalk gets you a 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days.
You don't have to worry about talking with a lisp.
You can just be super strong and vibrant and logical and have energy and be in a great mood with an actual sense of humor, all with supplements. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Change your life. Change my life. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. You need to be involved in your children's education. And no, I don't expect you to know geometry. I can't help my kids do homework, especially now that they're in high school. I'm talking about finding out what they're being taught in school and who's teaching them. I've told you before, if you walk in your child's classroom and you see a tranny flag and a Black Lives Matter flag and your teacher's got pink hair and a bunch of pits in her face, you need to yank your kid out of the school. Joining me now, host of Scrolling with Haley on Rumble, Haley Coronia. Haley, okay, so we see a lot of these walkouts. We see teachers leading the walkouts. Kids, freaking elementary school kids. What's happening? Who's organized these? Is this all from the teachers?
Well, it's interesting because the media will tell you that this is all student run, that the students are deciding this on their own. They're getting together, they're organizing it. And the kids, I guess, you know, run the asylum, if you will. The kids are in charge. There are no parents, no adults in the room, no teachers to tell them yes or no. I guess the kids are just, they're in charge now, which is crazy. But I think a lot of this has to do with social media. They're organizing on social media. I think a lot of the times we're seeing now a lot of these celebrities are posting things. Ellen DeGeneres, Ariana Grande are posting this, you know, nationwide walkout, blackout, stop shopping, don't go to work, don't go to school, whatever. And I guess these kids are following it. I will say, listen, I went to school and I loved being out of class. If this was me, if I was this kind of age and I was a school age kid and they said, hey, you know, we're going out, we're ditching class. And I was a good kid, but I loved leaving class. I loved going outside. If there was like a fire drill, we were all pumped about it. Like, you're telling me we can go out and get fresh air and I don't have to sit at my desk and I don't have to listen to my teacher drone on about whatever. I would have been out there regardless of if I believed in it or not. It was just an excuse to, I don't know, do something else other than pay attention in class. So I think that's a lot of what we're seeing too. It's sort of this mob mentality where a lot of these kids are just going along for the ride. I don't think a lot of these kids really have a grasp on what's going on in general. So on the high school level and certainly the college level, I think they have more of an idea and it makes more sense for these students to kind of talk about current events. But what's really concerning is we're seeing this happen with such younger aged kids, middle school, elementary school teachers even, that I covered one on my show today. There was a teacher and an elementary school teacher who flipped the American flag upside down, put an abolish ICE sign in her classroom, to your point in your intro about pay attention to what's going on in your classrooms, because a lot of these teachers, they've got an alternate agenda. They're not trying to teach math and science anymore. It's indoctrination 101.
What advice would you give to parents about the social media aspect? Because, I mean, look, I've got two kids, and we kept phones and social media away from them as long as possible. But unless you're going to move them to the mountains and raise them in a cave somewhere, they're going to get it eventually.
Right.
So how do you handle that when they're getting bombarded with filth all day long on Instagram? How does a parent handle that?
This is tough. Listen, I'm not a parent, but I am an adult who is severely addicted to social media. So I know the evils of it because I deal with this in my personal life. My screen time is astronomical. It's probably 14, 16 hours. Thankfully, I've created a career out of it, so it's less embarrassing, I guess, for me. But I think that kids with phones and social media, that is a cancer. Parents really need to be active participants in their kids' lives. You know, when people were talking about the TikTok ban and social media bans and things like that, listen, I'm against that kind of thing, but I don't think that kids should be on social media. I don't think that kids need to be on Instagram, need to be on TikTok, because you can't really control these algorithms. The parents, even if you put some kind of a parental control on, you can't really trust that. And even if you try to shelter your kid as much as humanly possible, they're going to learn this stuff. Other kids in school are going to teach them about it. It's really a kitchen table issue where I think regardless of what your kid sees at school or learns at school or learns through other kids, you need to have that moment back at home where, hey, we're going to have dinner together. We're going to talk about the values that we care about as a family, and it starts at home.
Did you say 16 hours? When do you eat?
It's crazy. I think one day, I think my screen time, it must have been a glitch or something, or maybe I just don't close my apps out. I do sleep. I sleep about 7 hours, but I am on my phone pretty much every waking moment of the day. It's pretty sick. I'm not proud of it at all.
You know what? I admire the honesty. 16
I own it.
Hours.
I oh own gosh. It. It's disgusting. I hate it about myself, but it is what it is. I need to be. I need help. Do they have rehab for these kinds of things? I might need to check myself in.
Look, if they do, you should found the rehab clinic for 16
yes,
hours
exactly.
a day.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, Don Lemon. He's had a rough go of it lately. Here he is getting all weepy on Jimmy Kimmel.
Just walking up to the room and I press the elevator button and all of a sudden I feel myself being jostled and they people trying to grab me and put me in handcuffs and I said, what are you doing here? And they said, we came to arrest you. And I said, well, who are you? And then finally they like identified themselves and I said, if you are who you are, then where's the warrant? And they didn't have a warrant. So they had to wait for someone from outside, an FBI guy, to come in to show me a warrant on a cell phone. And by that time I was like trying to, you know, figure out what was going on to get my bearings and dropped all my stuff. My glasses had fallen on the floor. I'm like, I can't read that. So they had to pick my glasses up and I read it. And still, what does that mean? You know, so, and then it was a bunch of guys and they took me outside. FBI guys were out there. I mean, it had to be maybe a dozen people, which is a waste, Jimmy, of resources, because
sure.
I had told them weeks before, maybe once or twice, that we would, you know, I think my attorney tried to contact them once, maybe twice, that I could just go in and it would have to be the folks who are just working there that day and they wouldn't have to have all these people following me around.
It's more than just a waste of resources. So they grab you and they take you where?
Well, you're right about more than just a waste of resources. They want that. They want to embarrass you. They want to intimidate you. They want to instill fear. And so that's why they did it that way.
Man, that's a crying shame, Haley. They're just using the Justice Department to embarrass and humiliate people. That's never happened before.
Right. That's their idea of what's going on. And yes, the Biden administration set the standard, right? Anytime a leftist gets upset about this, it's like, you guys started this. If you didn't want to go after average Americans, then you shouldn't have started it. The Biden administration made domestic terrorists out of concerned parents at school board meetings. They made criminals out of actual peaceful protesters in front of pro-life abortion clinics, pro-life protesters in front of them. This is what they do, right? To the point about Don Lemon crying on air and also Jimmy Kimmel crying on air after Renee Good's death, is this a low testosterone thing? Maybe you can fill me in from a man's perspective. I don't cry at work. I've never cried at work. I've never felt the need to do that. Well, actually, I should be honest here. I cried when Charlie Kirk died on my show. However, that was a few hours after I learned. I'm giving myself a pass, right? But for Don Lemon to cry about being arrested when he was not being a peaceful protester, he was not being a journalist. We see this on camera. And Don Lemon likes to say, well, I have the footage. You can see in the footage that I was just being peaceful and I was just doing my job as a journalist. But that's the same footage that's going to get him in hot water, because that's the same footage that shows him breaking into a church with agitators, violent agitators, and intimidating worshipers, kids are crying, and he interviewed the pastor in the middle of the service. We're seeing it on camera. He thinks that this video is going to, you know, vindicate him. It is going to do the exact opposite.
Haley, I'm sorry I kept you from your phone for 10 minutes. Please go back. I appreciate you very much. All right. Do you own a home? And do you own debt? I'm talking the soul-sucking, high-interest 20-30% debt that's out there. American Financing is here to help. They're just here to help. You know that mortgage rates, 3-year low right now. As low as the fives, you don't have to keep it. Please stop paying 20%, 25%. You don't have to do that. Get a hold of American Financing and find out how they can help. Just call and find out how they can help. It's no obligation at all. They're not going to be pushy. They're going to find out what your situation is and they're going to help. 866-891-2821, or you can go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. They're here to help. Be back.
I've already met with AG. We are putting out information on what helping New Jerseyans know their rights. We are not going to allow any ICE raids to be staged from state properties, and we are also going to be standing up a portal so people can upload all their cell phone videos and alert people. Like, if you see an ICE agent in the street, get your phone out.
Yes.
We want to know.
That can't be legal, right? Just for a normal, just idiot like me, I look at that stuff and I think, well, there's no way that can be legal. We should probably ask Bill about that because he knows a little bit more about it than I do. Joining me now, Cornell Law University professor and founder of Legal Insurrection, my friend Bill Jacobson. All right, Bill, I know you will set me straight, as you often do, that that's rebellion or sedition or whatever word you want to put on it. And it's not just her. It's state after state, city after city. That can't be legal, right?
Well, I think depends how it's going to be used. When she first announced it in the context of that show, it seemed pretty clear she was doing that in order to interfere with ICE's operations. And if that's how it's used, then it would be illegal. State officials do not have the right to interfere in federal affairs or federal immigration enforcement. If it's merely informational, she played it cute. She's playing it very cute. She's trying to say, well, we just want to gather information. But everybody knows why they're doing it. So I think we have to see how it's used. If it's to provide a portal that people can use to evade ICE and to interfere with ICE operations that are in progress because people are uploading in real time, then I think she has legal liability. And what I think the federal government needs to do is they need to find a good, strong case of a mayor or a governor interfering in ICE's operations, not merely refusing to cooperate, but interfering, and bring that. But the first case they bring, it has to be a strong case. This one with New Jersey, I think she's playing it cute deliberately. We have to see how it's actually implemented.
Bill, is this what you've seen pretty consistently from them? Because the legal minds I talk to generally tell me the same thing, that they understand where the legal line is. They have fancy lawyers who went to Cornell and among other places, and they understand how to charge right up to that legal line and stop before they cross it. Is that generally what you see?
Well, yeah. So Providence, Rhode Island just issued a proclamation that ICE cannot operate on city property. I think that's overly broad. I think it should be challenged. There is a gray area as to where ICE can operate. They can clearly operate in public areas, areas that are generally open to the public. So there is city property that is generally open to the public. I don't think the city can ban a federal law enforcement or federal immigration enforcement from areas that are generally open to the public. But they want the public to believe, or maybe they think ICE agents will believe, that they can't even set forth on anything that's city property. And so they're playing it, I think, too far. But if they actually interfere, if the mayor of Providence sends out the Providence police to interfere with an ICE operation, or if he sends out the local, you know, anarchist groups and left-wing groups to interfere, then I think he's crossed the line. And the same will be true in New Jersey. If this is merely, as she's suggesting, on legal advice probably, an information gathering tool, she's probably okay. But the second people start using that portal to block ICE cars, to attack ICE agents, then I think the government, federal government needs to look into it, because you're absolutely right. This is a rebellion. This is a rebellion that's taking place across blue cities and blue states where they are rejecting the authority of the federal government. You know, compare that to what happened on January 6th and the reactions to that versus mayors and governors announcing they're not going to allow federal authority in their jurisdictions. So this is a full-on rebellion. This is borderline true insurrection. Let's see if any of these mayors or governors actually take that last step and physically try to block ICE. Because when they do that, federal DOJ needs to be in place to move quickly legally.
Let's, along these same lines, talk about the funders, because I mentioned in the opening how so many of these things are funded. Tom Homan came out, he said this.
Well, first of all, about the organization and the funding of the attacks on ICE, I'm not going to answer a lot about that, because I'm not going to show our hand, but they'll be held accountable. Justice is coming.
Bill, I understand, speaking of charging up to the legal line, the people who fund these things have very, very expensive attorneys. Are they well aware of the legal line and they stay behind it?
I'm not so sure. Unlike the mayors and the governors who have staff attorneys who can tell them, who have attorney generals who can tell them, I'm not so sure the people operating these websites and operating the groups really have thought it through. If the government wanted to get aggressive in terms of the prosecution, at least from what we've seen, or at least what's been reported about the Stop ICE websites, and I'm sure there are many others, the chat groups where they're monitoring, I think these people have likely crossed the line. And it depends how aggressive the federal government wants to get. They are creating situations where people get killed. I mean, the two people in Minnesota were reportedly part of these operations to interfere with ICE, part of these groups. Whether that's proven or not, we'll see, but that's what's been reported. And they encourage people to put themselves in dangerous situations. And when you do that, whether it's driving your car or whether it's stopping and interfering with ICE agents while you're armed, without declaring that you're armed, those are the sort of situations where people get killed. And so this is not just a theoretical political discussion. This is very much life and death, because what they're doing, interfering with lawful federal immigration enforcement, I repeat, lawful federal immigration enforcement, is going to get more people killed because they're creating these dangerous situations. It's one thing to protest, stand on the side of the road with your sign, fine. But if you're going to put your body in front of an ICE car, if you're going to put your body between an ICE agent, you know, detaining somebody who's in the country illegally, you're creating a dangerous situation. And so all of these mayors and these governors, including the governor of New Jersey, they're really playing with fire here. And it's the government's going to have to go after them when it's appropriate, and going to have to go after the people funding it and organizing it.
Bill, moving on to the Supreme Court, I'm passionate about the birthright citizenship thing, as everybody knows. I believe, not hyperbole, this is the most important case the Supreme Court will ever decide for the future of the country. But either way, April 1st is the date they're going to hear it. What do I know? Are we going to have a ruling by the midterms? What do we know about this?
I think we will have a ruling by June. I mean, that's typically the end of the term, and we've discussed many times what the term is. That's, they issue their rulings by the end of June, except in emergency situations. So we will have a decision before the midterms. What that will mean for the midterms is a different question, but we will know by the end of June whether the popular conception that's prevailed, that as long as you're born here, no matter how your parents got here, you are a U.S. citizen, is accurate, is legally accurate, or whether it requires something more, whether birthright tourism, where your, you know, parents fly here specifically to give birth to a child who then becomes an American citizen, or people in the country illegally, or people here on tourist temporary visas, are those children American citizens by virtue of their birth here? And we've presumed for decades and decades that that is the case, but I think there's a very strong argument that it's not the case. It's not what the 14th Amendment meant, and it's not a reasonable interpretation of the terms.
Let's move on and talk about the leaks. Somehow, some way, we still don't know who leaked the Dobbs decision. John Roberts looks like he's trying to crack down on the leaks. What's happening? Why is it happening? Why don't we have the leaker yet? What's going on, Bill?
Well, the reason we don't have the leaker is because John Roberts decided to keep the investigation internal at the Supreme Court for the leak of a draft of the Dobbs decision, which almost got Brett Kavanaugh killed. Okay, remember, it was that leak which led some guy, I forget where he was from, Michigan or Illinois, to drive or fly to D.C. armed and get up to the doorstep of Justice Kavanaugh and his family. And fortunately, there were U.S. Marshals there, so he turned around when he got to the house. But that was his intent. His intent was to kill him. And he came relatively physically close to doing that. And that's the result of the leak. And John Roberts made a decision to not allow another branch of government to essentially rifle through the files and the computers of the Supreme Court. And I think that was a tragic decision, because we need to know. Whoever leaked that is presumably, with a Supreme Court clerkship under their belt, going to be in positions of power in the future. Could be legal positions, could be political positions, and I think we're entitled to know who that was. That was a savage breach of the norms at the Supreme Court. I mean, remember how, whether it's Obamacare or any of these other monumental decisions, we're all on pins and needles, waiting, what is the decision going to be? And the reporters are at the White House and they come running out with the decision and they read it on the steps, because we don't know. The Supreme Court was supremely good at keeping things quiet until this, until the abortion decision. And I think we needed to know. We do need to know who did it. But at this point, I can't see how we will. But the mistake was the FBI should have been brought in right away. They are very good at finding people. They are very good at rifling through electronic data and electronic evidence. And I think we would have found that person. Instead, he let the Supreme Court marshals do the investigation. No disrespect to the Supreme Court marshals, but they're not the FBI.
Bill, as always, appreciate you, sir. Senator Ron Johnson joins us in a moment. Before Senator Johnson joins us, let me talk to you about putting your money where your morals are. These cell phone companies. You know, we talked about, in the opening of the show, we talked about how these protests are paid for. They're organized. It's not just by George Soros. American corporations, ones who have not been brought to heel by us, by you and me, American corporations fund these things. These communists worm their way into the corporate boardroom. They take your money and they write checks to these communist street animals. Do you have Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile? I used to. I've had them all. I'm not judging you. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Pure Talk is run by a Vietnam veteran. They hire Americans. You're not going to sacrifice service at all. They're on the exact same cell phone towers. Switch your plan to Pure Talk. They'll take care of you. They're wonderful to deal with. PureTalk.com/JesseTV, and they'll save you money. Senator Johnson, next. The SAVE Act, Chuck Schumer declared it dead on arrival. Of course, he had to pull out the, what was that line they always bought? Jim Crow 2.0. I can't count how many Jim Crows we've had at this point in time, but is it dead? Are we ever going to actually get this thing? Do we want this thing? Joining me now, a great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, is the SAVE Act dead on arrival? And if so, why?
Well, if we rely on Democrats for passing it, it is. But we don't necessarily have to do that. But this is something that is supported by 75 to 80% of the American population. They want only American citizens to vote in federal elections. They want voter ID. But the problem is we have Democrats who want to make it easy to cheat. That tells you something right there. So no, we're not going to get any help from Democrats. We realize that. But a number of us are trying to put together a piece of legislation that encompasses even more things than just the SAVE Act. We're calling it the Secure America Act. Secure our elections, secure our border and homeland, secure taxpayer funds. You know, let's do everything we can to prevent this massive fraud that we're seeing in all these programs, in particularly blue states. You know, save our health care. So again, we don't know exactly what elements are going to be in that package, but if we put that package together, you know, there is something called the talking filibuster. A number of us are talking about that. There's some issues with it, no doubt about it. We're going to have to convince, first of all, we have to come up with a piece of legislation that we can pass with a majority vote in both chambers. Then we're going to have to convince our colleagues to actually go through the process of a talking filibuster, see if that's possible. But again, you know, I was one of the first ones to go publicly agree with President Trump that we ought to just end the filibuster. Democrats are going to do it. They purged the two senators that prevented them from ending it last time they had power. Next time they'll be in power, they will end the filibuster, make Puerto Rico, D.C. states, four more Democrat senators, pack the Supreme Court. It'll all be about their acquisition, maintenance of power. If we do it, we're going to do it to try and save America.
Okay. If we do it, how do we get every Republican on board? Because there's only one Ron Johnson. And to be honest, there's only a handful of you that actually feel like you feel. We still have some older established types, many of them mortal enemies of Donald Trump at this point in time, who, you'll have to forgive me, I don't have a whole lot of faith in. Do we have 51 votes?
Well, we don't put the cart before the horse. I mean, the first thing we have to do, literally, is assemble this package of bills that I'm calling the Secure America Act. Again, secure our borders, our election, taxpayer funds, America's health. Get the president on board and, you know, get the White House involved. I mean, these are the things, again, what we're doing polling on these things. You know, we're gonna try and assemble a package of policy piece of legislation that 70, 75, 80% of the American people agree with. I mean, across the spectrum, you know, both Democrat, Republican, Independent, put that together, get the president on board, then have the president start twisting a few arms of maybe some reluctant members here in the Senate and the House. Once we have that, then we can proceed to, you know, how do we get it passed? Talking filibuster, or just like with the nominations. Remember, we didn't have a majority in the Senate that wanted to change the rules with a mere majority vote to start confirming these, you know, nominations that the Democrats were blocking, but the Democrats were so obnoxious, they were so obstructionist. Eventually, I think we got all 53 Republican senators saying, no, we have to change the rules with a mere 51 votes. And so it's possible, but we need the piece of legislation first. It's got to be popular. It's got to be impactful. It's got to work to scare this country, to save this country, get the president on board, then we get our colleagues on board. So it's kind of a multi-step process, one step at a time.
Speaking of legislation, you have something about shutting down the government. Democrats clearly are going to do this as often as humanly possible. What is all this?
Well, I've got two pieces of legislation. One is the Eliminate Shutdown Act. You eliminate shutdowns for all time. Just very simple. You just create automatic 14-day continuing appropriations until the appropriators can come together like they have now, pass appropriation bills to fund the government. That would be, I think, the ultimate fix. Short of that, the Shutdown Fairness Act would at least pay people on time. We're going to pay them anyway, right? I mean, you shut down the government for 42 days. The air traffic controllers, they basically go on a slowdown. It puts public safety at risk. Just pay them on time. That unfortunately, the uniparty appropriators want the leverage of shutdowns to pass appropriation bills that we can't afford. That's the dirty little secret around here. The uniparty appropriators don't like either the Eliminate Shutdown Act or the Shutdown Fairness Act. It's something that President Trump gave me his absolute guarantee would at least pass the Shutdown Fairness Act. We've got to focus on that or Eliminate Shutdown Act. That, from my standpoint, that should be part of this package if we do a talking filibuster.
Senator, do you get a sense of urgency from your colleagues? Because we do have the midterms coming up, and it doesn't exactly take Nostradamus to feel like we're probably not going to at least have the House after that. Is there some sense of urgency that we got to get something done here?
Well, I think I sense more of that on the House side. Partly that's because They stand for election every 2 years. On the Senate side, yeah, listen, I just came for lunch where everybody's patting themselves in the back that we looks like we're going to pass 11 of the 12 appropriation bills. You know, great job. We're doing it, 4 months into the fiscal year? I guess you can call that success based on the dysfunction around here. But Kelly, Jesse, I've been here for 15 years. We should have passed 180 appropriation bills before the start of the fiscal year they were funding. We've passed six. That's a 96.7% failure rate. And yet, the uniparty appropriators don't want the Eliminate Shutdown Act. They don't want the Shutdown Fairness Act because that takes away their leverage to be able to pass these bills 3, 4, 5, 6 months into the fiscal year, then start the process all over again. I mean, it is madness. It's insane. It's dysfunctional. We need a paradigm shift around here. Eliminate Shutdown Act or Shutdown Fairness Act would be a paradigm shift.
Senator, appreciate you very much as always, sir. Keep plugging. All right. We have... Stop. We have a light in the mood. I've been laughing about it for 2 days. I saw it 2 days ago. I've been laughing about it for 2 days. I sent it to producer Matt, and I said, we have to have this on for light in the mood. So buckle up. Next. It's time to lighten the mood. And what I'm about to play, it is funny. It is funny. At the same time, it's scary and it's sad. We talked before about how we were always naive to believe that the street animals would stay on the streets. We thought that the freaks would just stay on the street corner, right? Surely they'll stay there, but communists were never going to stay there. They were going to work their way up through the institutions until they finally controlled institutions. And the problem with that is institutions are really important. They matter a lot. And these people, the animals, they've taken over really, really important institutions. I'm about to play you something, and you're going to be tempted to think that it's fake, to think that it's a parody we came up with or something like that. We verified it. This is real. The Philadelphia Sheriff's Department has a recruiting video out. They need some new recruits. You know, serve and protect. You want to see the video? Here it is. Let's see them all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.